morning. Amen. So fitting for, any time really, but especially this week, because we've been celebrating Thanksgiving. And as often is said, every day as a believer is a day of Thanksgiving. But I am thankful for the time, this time of year, when it is recognized that we are giving thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Amen. As you're turning to Psalms chapter 100 this morning, a little, so I figured I'd start with a short Psalms, and kind of hard to go with so long. We were gathered together this week as a family, as much of us have been, and we stood around the table, and the mashed potatoes and the gravy and the turkey was all ready, and the stuffing laid before us, and it all looked so good. And we gathered together, and we, in prayer, of course, and then we read the 100th Psalm here, because it is considered a psalm of thanksgiving. As I begin to read it, and obviously, if you haven't already looked, it's familiar to us. But let's just read it together this morning. If we can read it in concert, that would be good. I'll start, and if you can join in with me as a congregation, and we'll start there in Psalm 100, verse number one. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generation. Amen. Now, Marion didn't know this morning that I was going to read that psalm. And as we were singing the songs, many of the songs that we sang this morning just fit right in with this, because it is a psalm of praise, as many of the psalms that we read. And many of them are really titled that. If you look in your King James, if you have that, or most Bibles will reference a particular psalm and give it a heading. And this one, as some of the others are, is listed as a psalm of praise. And some Bibles will even list that as a psalm of thanksgiving. Does anyone have that this morning? Yeah, there's a few back there that actually calls it a psalm of thanksgiving. And I, if I'm not mistaken, I believe that this really is the only psalm that is listed as that, a psalm of thanksgiving, although there are many that are listed as a psalm of praise. And it is a giving of thanks this morning. And that's what we want to do, is give him praise. It was often used during the temple worship. Many of the Anglican churches, even today, they call this the jubilate, or a shout for joy, or a time of rejoicing, or to come together and a show of gratefulness and happiness. It is a joyful occasion that we are to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, it says here. And there's two premises that this is based upon, and we'll list them here this morning. And the first one is this, and it's there in verse number 3, that the Lord, he is God. Amen. We worship the Lord and we praise him. We give him adoration this morning because he is God. And there's much that can be said about that, and Lord willing, we will here today. And the second premise is this, and it's down in verse number 5, for the Lord is good. So we've got those two things this morning. Firstly, that the Lord, he is God. And we worship him this morning because he is God. And secondly, because he is good this morning. Amen. How many can say amen to that? And so I invite you this morning to come together with us, to stand with us, to worship with us, and to declare that God is good, and to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That it really is a call of a community gathering together and to worship the Lord together and to magnify his great name. What a great privilege that is this morning. Now, I'm like you. I like to worship the Lord On my own, I like to worship him. Sometimes, you know, driving down the road, you'll be listening to a particular song or even thinking about a particular verse or even hearing a message preaching, and you can get excited about the Lord and just begin to worship the Lord. There's been many times I don't say this to, you know, blow my own horn. I'm sure I'm not alone in this, and I just happen to be the one preaching this morning. But you'll be riding down the road, and for too long you get too excited, and your hands go up, and you just begin to praise the Lord and even praying in the Spirit and just begin to worship the Lord. Why? Because God is good. Amen. Because he is Lord. He is God. It is the Lord. He is God. And so we've called each other together this morning, and we're saying, come, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, I'll present that to you this morning and also remind you that it's not just today. It's not just this week. And really and truly, we shouldn't have to remind each other of this. And so it's not so much that we're saying do this because we're declaring you to do this, but it's a call together of people of like precious faith that have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy, that have been set free, that is walking in newness of life, and it's a call to come together and worship the Lord. Now, if you don't fit that category, it won't make a whole lot of sense. It doesn't make a lot of sense to the world why the church gets excited about the things of God. Why they get excited in the reading of the word or the singing of psalms or praise or whatever form of worship we may be in. It's much like, you know, I often will be sitting at the house and I like to watch sports and I like to watch a ball game and particularly baseball. And I mentioned that a few Sundays ago about the playoffs, and especially if my Atlanta Braves are in the playoffs, and I get really excited about it sometime. I'm sitting there. I've been throughout the years, and I've forced my wife to sit beside me there, and she'll tell me every year, okay, if the Braves make the playoffs, I'm going to watch it with you. And so she'll sit there with me for a while, and she'll be folding clothes, and I've noticed off to the side, I can look and see she's not really paying a whole lot of attention. And I'll never forget back in the early 90s, I'm sitting there. We were in a little trailer there where my house is now. And I'm sitting on the floor. And as there was a big time in the game, and there was a guy up to bat by the name of Francisco Cabrera. Sid Bream was standing on second base, and we had to have that run. And here Francisco Cabrera, never even heard of him before, he hits a base hit up into the center of the field, and Sid Bream, he was all broken up, and he was about as tall as I am, I guess, but knees bad, and he comes limping around third base, looked like he wasn't going to make it. And as the ball's coming from the outfield, it throws it in, and the catcher catches the ball, and Sid Bream slides in safe. And he was so slow, his own momentum wouldn't carry him up. He's just laying there, and his team had to pick him up. I'm so excited about it, and I look around at my wife, and I say, oh, let's worship together. Let's be so excited and joyful. And she looked at me like, okay. High five, Shell, high five. Yeah. Why? Because she just wasn't into it. It wasn't that important to her. Now, when we come together this morning and I'm saying, come magnify the Lord with me, come let us exalt his holy name, it should not be that you look at me like Shell does during the playoffs and says, okay, I'm going to do this just because you told me to do it. It really doesn't mean that much to me. But when we make that declaration, it's people that have come together and say, I will magnify the Lord. I will lift up his holy name. Look what David says over here in Psalm chapter number 34, very familiar to us as well. But as we read these words, a Psalm of David, once again, it says this, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all time. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. I'm going to do this. This is what David says, I'm going to magnify the Lord. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. Amen. But as often is the case, so often it's good when you come together with people. And he says this, come magnify, oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Amen. The psalmist writes here, because I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it on my own. I'm going to do it in my house. I'm going to do it when I'm washing the dishes. I'm going to do it when I'm working on my job. I'm going to do it when I'm walking through the store. I'm going to magnify the Lord. But I declare, come magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt his holy name together forever. Amen. Aren't you thankful this morning that we can give praise unto the Lord? It is a truly a call to worship. And as we say it in basketball, when you're looking for that high five and you raise your hand, the worst thing to do is when someone leaves you hanging. What's that mean? They just walk by you. You got your hand up and you want that slap on the hand. Good job. No, they just leave you hanging. Don't leave us hanging this morning. Let's magnify the Lord together and let's exalt his holy name. Look what he says here back in Psalm 100. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Now, when we read this in scripture, if you look at some of the phrases, just that all ye lands, you understand that is a call for all the earth to come magnify the Lord. That is a call for all those whom God has created, all ye lands. It's not just to a particular tribe or a particular group that has a particular deity, but it's all the earth. So when we talk about all the lands, especially throughout the Old Testament scripture, when there are many that may have been there in that first covenant that saw God as their God, but yet here as it opens up and says, unto all the lands. And so that's the word there. All the land shall rejoice. All the land shall sing praises unto the Lord. Why? Because he is the God of all the earth. Amen. Many of the songs that we sang this morning that spoke about the creation and all that we see us around us today and causes us to magnify God and give praise unto the Lord. Because why? Because we understand that the worlds were formed by our God. Amen. And that all the earth should declare his majesty and to declare his glory. Look what Isaiah the prophet says over in Isaiah 44, beginning with verse number 23, says, sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest and every tree therein, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Amen. Think about that this morning. Why are we going to declare our praises unto the Lord and sing praises unto God? Because God says, I created all things by myself. I spoke the worlds into existence. I did these things. All ye lands, he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Come before his presence with singing. I can't help when I read that phrase, to come before his presence. In my mind's eye, I get the idea of a king that sits upon the throne and that his members of his kingdom would come before that throne. And as they would come before the throne, that's just kind of how we picture this morning. He says, come before his presence with singing, that as we approach the king, as we come before the king of all the earth, and we declare, we come into his presence with singing. Singing what? Singing songs of praise, as we did this morning. Singing songs of thanksgiving, singing songs of adoration, singing songs about the greatness of God. That's one thing that we must keep in mind this morning, that we're not calling for really an overflow of our experience this morning, but we're calling for a declaration or an expression of our faith, that we're coming to sing together, not so much because everything may be going great in your life, because there are, as we sang this morning, some through the waters and some through the flood, some through the fires, but all through the blood. Amen. And so we come together not because of our experience or not because of our situation, but because we're serving the God of the universe. Amen. And that we understand this morning that as we started the service there, talking about that we all must stand before God and give an account. Amen. And we this morning come before God today and we give him praise today, knowing that he is God. That's why we serve him, isn't it? We serve him because he's God. I've said that many times, but you know, I always hear the argument of someone that may be trying to defend the faith, and they're trying to say why they serve God or why they go to church or why they do this to an unbeliever, and an unbeliever may be, you know, trying to confront them or be challenging them, and so the response is made, well, I may be wrong, but what if you're wrong? And so in a sense of saying, I'm serving God just in case. Or I'm serving God in case we've got to stand before him. How many knows it's much more than that? This isn't about, as my dad put it this week when we were talking, it's not about fire insurance. This is about serving the Creator of all things. Amen. Why do we serve God? Not just in case he's God. That's a weak praise, isn't it? Oh, I praise you, God, just in case. I lift up you, Lord, on the possibility, on the occasion that maybe. No, we declare our praise in the Lord because you are God. Amen? And that you made all things. Not a maybe, not perhaps, or just, you know, there's always that chance. No, our declaration to the world is, come unto the Lord because he is God. Sing praises unto the Lord. Serve him with gladness. Come into his presence because know ye. I mean, like that part of the verse, that the Lord, he is God. Know this without a doubt. Amen. Could anyone testify with me this morning that you know that God is God? Amen. That there's none else. That all things were made by, there is no doubt in our minds this morning. I believe this as much as I believe I'm standing here before you. I believe this as much as I believe that anything in this life is real and true, and that God, the Lord, he is God, and it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are not self-existent this morning. We did not create from some mistake in the universe or by chance or by some strange act that had never happened before, but that just somehow, this amoeba crawled into this mud puddle and there was life. No, we were made, as the book of Revelation says, for his good pleasure. All things were made, he says, for his good pleasure. Amen? For whose good pleasure? Well, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are created. For that pleasure. What does that mean, for the pleasure? It means for by choice, God. By purpose. By his divine will. Lord, you have done things according to thy pleasure. Because you created the earth because you chose this. There was a decision in the mind of God. He says, for thy pleasure, you did this. You know, when you come up to someone, going to Chick-fil-A and you order a chicken sandwich and they give you that chicken sandwich and they give you a big sweet tea and all. I got one of those sweet teas the other Wednesday after our nursing home visit, and I mistakenly left that thing set in the garage, and Shell saw it sitting there, and she grabbed it the other day and says, whose cup is this? I said, well, it must have been mine from the other night. And she picked it up to take it outside and pour it out. She poured it out. It was like thick syrup pouring out of the glass. I'm like, wow, I was drinking that. But I remember when they gave it to me because I asked for a refill because I got two or three of those things. It's great tea. And I'd say, thank you so much. And they would say, what? My pleasure. They'd say, my pleasure. What does that mean? I did this not because you made me do it, but I gave you this tea refill because I chose to do so. And I'd like to think that was the case with them. But I know with God, when he says he did all things and created all things for thy pleasure, by your choice, God, because you desired it, because you spoke it into existence. And when you think about thy pleasure, it was his will that it took place. It was his will. It wasn't just some mistake. It wasn't just some accident, but it was by the God created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created. Amen. For thy pleasure, to the will of God. It says, know ye that the Lord, he is God, is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are not autonomous. We have not made ourselves, and we really can't do a whole lot for ourselves. We went Black Friday shopping this week, of course, yesterday or Friday, I guess it was. And we were out shopping, and we went to a particular store. I don't remember what store it was, but all the people in this store had on the same color shirt, and I don't remember all that it said, but I remember a few things. And it's and on this shirt, I think it was a green shirt, and it said, it was a holiday shirt because, you know, the holidays are here. And it says, make your own peace, make your own joy. And then there was some other line at the bottom. I don't really remember what it was. And they were all wearing that. And I mean, glad this morning that of course, they took the words peace and joy. But I begin to think about the declaration that were made by the angels there when he says, unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Amen. Wow, that was, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy. I couldn't make my own peace. I couldn't make my own joy. And just today, they can't make their own peace, and they can't make their own joy. Why? Because we are not autonomous. We have not created ourselves. We can't save ourselves. But there's one that can. And it's this, that it says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. What do we think of when we think of that this morning? The Lord is my shepherd. David prayed there in the 23rd Psalms. The Lord, he is my shepherd. And as Jesus stood there and declared there in the book of John, he says what? He says, I am the good shepherd. And when you think about a shepherd, as often we have thought about and just think about that analogy with reference to people that, as the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. But the Lord, the good shepherd, has sought us out this morning. Isn't that great to know that a sheep that has wandered off, that the good shepherd has sought them out? The parable is given about the 90 and 9 that are left to go after that one lost sheep. Why? Because God is merciful. And it's, the Bible says, we're talking about the will of God or the pleasure of God. He says, it's not his pleasure, same word that's used there. It's not his pleasure or it is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You say, well, wouldn't it be that if it would be the will of God, that it would be so? Amen. Unfortunately, this morning, we can fight against the will of God. We can say, well, it's God. I understand that. But somehow, in his great wisdom, he said it, he made it this way. Why? Because he's a good God. And as Jesus was there that day when the disciples were there with him and his family, I guess it was his mother and brethren were outside of the place where he was teaching, and they come to him and they said, Jesus says, your mother and your brethren, they seek for thee. And what was Jesus' words? He said this, for whosoever shall do the will of God, whosoever shall do the will of God, the same as my brethren and my sisters and my mother. So how are we into this family of God? By doing the will of God. And this is the will of God, to believe on him that he sent, his only begotten Son. Amen. This morning, the will of God, not to do our own will. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. See what that means to us this morning, is he is our keeper. Amen. He is our provider. Amen. He is our leader. God, help us to know thy will. To know your will. I want to look at that a little closer. As we left last Sunday, and we were talking about the mind of God and having the mind of God. And I left thinking to myself after I read those verses there in Corinthians about we have the mind of God. We have the mind of Christ. And I felt like, you know, I just hadn't done it justice. I was like, Lord, you know, what does it mean to have your mind? What do you mean by that? Because, you know, so often, you know, we're seeking, even as believers, we're seeking after the will of God. We want to know the will of God. And so I was praying this week, God, show me in your word what you mean by having your mind. It's not that God's letting us see off into the future. It's not that every one of us sitting here are prophets in a sense that we know what's going to happen tomorrow. Now, God does. He knows the end from the beginning. But you and I'll admit to you, I don't know what tomorrow holds. I'll admit that. And I don't know that necessarily I would want to. But I want us to look at that maybe in a little closer. God, what does it mean to have your mind? What does it mean? And so often it's this, I think, that, you know, just as it is not his will that any should perish. And Mary and I were talking this morning there before the service, you know, how great it is as a believer even to see others come to saving faith. Amen. What greater thing can you and I do this morning than to lead someone else to Christ? Amen. Isn't that wonderful to know that God uses us as vessels of honor, that we can lead others unto Jesus by our testimony, by our words? That's why the Bible tells us, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. That's why we are admonished this morning to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Amen. God, let that be our life this morning. Let that be our lifestyle. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And so once again, there's that word picture of us. When you think about a gate, you think about entering into a great city. And as was the case back then, not so much now, but back then, a city was always protected by gates. And so here we have this picture of entering into the kingdom of God, or coming into the city of God. And as we come into his gates, it says that we are to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Amen. We come into his presence here. We come into his gates. We come into this city with thanksgiving. And we've come into this city now. Now we're coming into the courts. And so we've come to the palace of this great king there, maybe in the midst of the city. And as we come into this courts, it says we enter into his courts with praise. And so we've come into the city singing as we've come into the gate. Amen. Everybody knows who the gate is, right? I mean, Jesus, as Thomas said, Lord, how do we know where to go? We don't even know the way. How do we know? Jesus said what? He says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Amen. He is the gate of the city. There's no other way to enter the city but through Jesus Christ. And so we come in with singing, and we come into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. It says this, for the Lord is good. Amen. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. The Lord is good. We mentioned the 23rd Psalm a while ago. I want to read one verse from there here. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Just over two Psalm there in Psalm 25, verse number 7 says this. It says, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. And that's our God this morning. Good and upright. Plenteous in mercy. The 22nd Psalm says it this way in verse 3 there. I'm sorry, 23. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him, all the seed of Jacob. Glorify him and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. So now we've kind of, all ye lands, we brought this thing down a little tighter now. And to what? Ye that fear the Lord. Amen. How many fear the Lord this morning? Let me just run down a few of the verses here throughout the Psalm. I'm going to do this quickly here this morning. But just coming through, I'll try to keep them in order. And I'm going to say them and then read them. Psalm 25, 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. 33 and 18 says this, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. 34:7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. 9, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Many more that we can look at throughout that, just those psalms there, but just skipping forward just briefly here in Psalm 85. Look at verse number 9 there. Psalm 85 and 9 says this: surely his salvation is nigh to them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Psalm 103, verse number 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy to them that fear him. Verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and righteousness unto the children's children. We could go on from there, but I'll stop. There's more I have. But you could do that on your own if you wanted to, and just find there, particularly in the Psalms, those places, and you'll find that common denominator in every one of them. When you talk about the angels of the Lord, or encamped about those that do what? That fear God. That fear the Lord. That reverence the Lord. That stand in awe of God. That recognizes him as the creator of all things, that spoke all things into the existence. And we don't, as Jesus was hanging on that cross there between the two thieves, and there were two that were there that day, and the Bible talks about the first one there that said he railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But there was a second thief that was there, and the Bible says he rebuked him and saying, dost not thou fear God? Dost not thou fear God? I want to be one of those that fear God. Here's a thief hanging on a cross that had spent his life, however, as a insurrectionist that had caused trouble, that whatever put him there in that position. He says, he admitted freely, we deserve what we're getting. This man has done nothing to deserve this. And he looks at Jesus and he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And what did Jesus say to him? He said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Why? Because that thief on the cross demonstrated fear, but he also demonstrated faith. He said, Lord, remember me when thou come into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen. Why? Because he showed fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But as we read here in the Psalms, this psalm is a thanksgiving. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generation. Amen. To all generation. Come magnify the Lord with me this morning. Let's exalt his name together. Why? Because he has done great things. In all the earth, he has done great things. We have been redeemed from our sin. He is, as far, the Bible says, as the east is from the west, so has he removed our sins from us. As David said, blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute sin. And why? Because we have been saved. Amen. He's worthy of praise, isn't he? He's worthy of thanksgiving. He's worthy of adoration. Let's do that. Let's come into his praise. Let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let's serve the Lord with gladness and come into his presence with thanksgiving this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your word today. God, thank you for, God, these words of praise, God, that, Lord, you've placed in our heart as individuals, each of us here that have been redeemed, God, that you have set free, that you have saved us, Lord, from our sins. Lord, redeemed us, bought us, restored us. God, we are so thankful for that. And Father, we do thank you also for people of like precious faith, or that have gathered here this morning, God, because we are part of the family of God. God, to do thy will, O God. Lord, that's, Lord, how that we have become part of this family, God, doing thy will. Lord, we are so thankful for that today. God, not that we speak in boasting, Lord, or lifting up ourselves, or Lord, praising our own strength, God, because we know, God, that we can do nothing without you. God, we can do nothing. But, Lord, this heart of gratitude because, Lord, of pulling us out of our sins, God, and placing us upon the rock, Lord, and bringing us into this great city, God, the city of God. Lord, we come in with singing. We come with thanksgiving. We come with praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. And shall those are wonderful.